Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. We did let you go.
Yes.
But we decided to keep you because we are having some technical issues with Ray Pritchard, and we had to let him go. Just for the show.
Elephant Man has been stampeded.
Yes, we just got to let it. Having those issues, and rather than bad radio, if we suddenly lost him, we're going to get our engineers, who are brilliant, we're going to get them on that issue and see if we can't get it corrected for tomorrow, because Ray is scheduled to be with us all week except for Friday. So Fred Jackson is still here, news director for American Family News and One News Now, and now we welcome, as we typically do during the third segment, Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning / good afternoon to you, sir.
Good morning, good day all. And you know, Fred, this means that you're going to have to answer all the sticky theological scripture questions because you're replacing Ray.
Actually, what we'll do is call Sandy Rios.
Yes.
And ask her.
No, she starts all the issues and then goes on to whatever she's, you know. Yeah, that was pretty funny. So Sandy kind of started a little theological issue, and I thought we'd left it behind us, but Fred brought it back up again. So good. Well played. All right, Steve, so you're kind of in charge of bringing us some of the news stories that we're going to discuss. What you got first?
Let's start with a story that kind of goes on the heels of these shootings, right? So we had shootings in El Paso and Dayton, and then, of course, also in northern Mississippi not too long ago.
Right.
Walmart, South Haven.
The Walmart in South Haven. Was there one I'm missing? There was. Anyway.
It is hard to keep up with them.
Right, right. So you would not blame a school or a school district from encouraging maybe a little prayer before the school season starts, right? Going back to school about now. So the Cobb School District in Alabama, their Fife High School had a back-to-school worship service. Now, they say it was organized by the community. It was held in the high school gym. But Freedom From Religion Foundation found that they didn't think this was such a good idea. You know, we can't have prayer even in the midst of shootings and killings and targeting high school kids often. Just right along with what their usual modus operandi, they said that the event is a clear violation of church and state and a concerned DeKalb County school parent reported the event. They say, please join us in praying for God's protective hand to be on our schools, faculties, and students. They just can't let it go. There's just not a time when these people can say, you know, maybe now is not the time to.
All right, let me see if I understand this, because I had not heard about this story.
Yeah.
Sometimes these stories pop up after we have our story meeting in the first thing in the morning. So this was not school officials or teachers who organized this. This was people in the community who simply wanted to have a service at the school.
Barnett, who is the school supervisor, said the event was organized by community members not affiliated with the high school and approved by the school board to have it in their gymnasium.
I don't see anything. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, some teachers did attend, but not in a leadership role.
They were just ordinary citizens with First Amendment rights.
But come on, people. Even if the teachers, because the teachers are just as at risk as the students, you know, they're stopping the bullets from hitting the students.
Well, and they have constitutional rights, too. I don't see anything.
Even if they, for one moment, say, okay, you know what? Maybe this is the time where we need to go and pray because the
Freedom From Religion Foundation, just a small group of atheists. Mm-hmm. Who intimidate schools. There's nothing unconstitutional with what that community wanted to do. They have as much right to use the high school facilities as any other group does. And teachers have just as many constitutional rights as other members of the community. I hope the school has not backed down.
No, they had the service.
Okay.
And they usually, this is an annual event, they usually have some kind of baccalaureate type thing before the school year begins. Usually they have 80 to 90 to 100 people. 350 people showed up to this one.
Good. Yeah. Tell us the name of the community again.
Well, it's DeKalb County Schools, and the high school is Fife, F-Y-F-F-E High School in Alabama.
In Alabama. Well, good on them.
Good for them. And need we remind people that who owns the school building? The taxpayers.
The taxpayers.
And the last time I looked, I think Christians pay taxes.
Yes, they do.
School teachers pay taxes.
Absolutely.
So I think they have a right to use that facility, which they own.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Government facilities, government, period, is not allowed, this is what the Supreme Court has ruled, to favor one religion over the other, mm-hmm. but they are also not, government is also not allowed to show hostility to a particular faith or any faith or all faiths. So if you allow other groups to use school facilities, like a gymnasium, if you have a large meeting, then you cannot prohibit Christians from using it because that's hostility towards religion. Freedom From Religion Foundation, however, operates, talking about modus operandi, a lot of times with threatening and intimidating schools into obedience. And I'm proud of Fife Schools. Got a little bit of, I know it's spelled differently, but a little Barney Fife attitude going on there.
There you go.
Okay. And so good on them.
Yes.
And they ought to tell the Freedom From Religion Foundation to get lost. We have a First Amendment. You don't like it? Go to Cuba where they don't have one.
Well, no. This is the way that organization makes money, is they do.
Right.
They shake down these schools. Often they are challenged by groups like Alliance Defending Freedom or the whatever other these legal groups and
First Liberty,
often,
all the, yeah.
Most often they lose if they ever do go to court, but they're making a pretty penny on these things.
All right.
The New York Times, for once, printed a pretty fair headline. You remember yesterday, this happened after we were on the air, so you might not have known about this, but President Trump came out and made a speech. Actually, it was before we came on the air.
Yeah.
Made a speech about the shootings and what he was going to do. I want to play you a couple things that he said. First of all, I want to talk about what he said about racism and bigotry. This is cut 7.
The shooter in El Paso posted a manifesto online consumed by racist hate. In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. Hatred warps the mind, ravages the heart, and devours the soul. We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism, whatever they need. We must recognize that the internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the internet and stop mass murders before they start.
All right. Condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. Right?
Okay. We can all agree on that.
Okay.
I think.
So, he also talked about some issues that could happen with guns, and this is cut 6.
Red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Today, I'm also directing the Department of Justice to propose legislation ensuring that those who commit hate crimes and mass murders face the death penalty. Last year, we enacted the Stop School Violence and Fix NICS Acts into law, providing grants to improve school safety and strengthening critical background checks for firearm purchases. At my direction, the Department of Justice banned bump stocks. Last year, we prosecuted a record number of firearms offenses. But there is so much more that we have to do.
So, and there he says, red flag laws, which means expedited enforcement against people who might pose a danger, mentally disturbed people, the death penalty, school safety grants that help them and increase background checks, bump stock protection, prosecutions. So the New York Times wrote the headline on when their coverage of the speech, Trump urges unity versus racism. I think that's a fairly neutral and accurate description.
I'm proud to see that. That's what a newspaper should do, is accurately reflect the content of the president's speech.
The resistance was having none of it. If you can't say something bad about President Trump, don't say anything at all, I think is their motto.
Very, very nice.
And so Nate Silver of 385 or 538, he's a Politico kind of analyst. He tweeted out a simple tweet that said, "Not sure Trump urges unity versus racism is how I would have framed the story." It was a legitimate frame. I mean, it was a good headline, as we've noted. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez chimes in, "Let this front page serve as a reminder of how white supremacy is aided by and often relies upon the cowardice of mainstream institutions." Kirsten Gillibrand, "That's not what happened." Cory Booker, "Lives literally depend on your doing better, New York Times. Please do." And so the New York Times changed the headline. They caved. "Assailing hate, but not guns. Trump condemns bigotry, but doesn't call for major new gun laws." Well, first of all, he did call for measures. And so this is where the New York Times or the critics of the president, if he doesn't say what they want him to say, even if what he says is good, it's not good enough.
So they lied.
So
in the second headline, the New York Times lied.
Yes.
And they caved to pressure from the left. Let me just give you just a little example of why it's very difficult for me to trust the New York Times. Okay. Now,
the failing New York Times.
Failing New York Times. Now, last week, a coworker sent a link to a New York Times article that was dealing with the Mississippi Delta that has been flooded for 6 months. Okay. Really well done story. Great pictures. Good on the ground reporting. Just really well done. And I thought, good on you, New York Times, because the article was talking about how come nobody's in the media has talked about the Mississippi Delta. Everyone talks about New Orleans when these storms hit. Mississippi Delta, they show water still sitting in neighborhoods for 6 months after the flooding. Okay. I said, that's great. That's what the New York Times and the Washington Post and the news media ought to do. Cover the story and give us the facts. And on your opinion page, you can have all the op-eds and editorials you want. People can keep those things separate. But when I see this happening, what you're talking about, Steve, this is why I don't pay for the New York Times, because I'm not going to pay to have my blood pressure raised, okay? Because that is caving to the left, because you refuse to simply report the story the way it happened. And they used to have editors in big city newspapers who said, I don't care what you think. This is the truth. This is what we reported. We're sticking with it. Fred, yeah, you've been in the news business way longer than I have.
Yeah, and I started off in secular news media back, 40 years ago, and working in the national radio newsroom of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And certainly I wasn't working with anybody who testified to be Christian.
Right.
They were actually a lot of ex-BBC people that were there. And there was a test. And those senior editors, who were my bosses at the time, said, if we see an inkling of your opinion on this story in here, it doesn't get on the air.
Right.
Now, that was the standard, that you were to say, he says, she says, this is what happened. That's all you put out on the news. Like you say, we have opinion places in this network, but we're not going to allow our news division to become opinionated. That has all changed, whether it's the CBC or CNN or NBC, whatever the case, it's all, and I've written articles on this. What happened was, is that the journalists coming out of J school, it all starts, it's like in Christianity, problems start in seminaries.
Right. Yes, that's right.
So the problem started in J schools. J schools all of a sudden started...
journalism schools.
Journalism schools. We want to produce journalists who, number one, we don't think that you can hide your opinion in the piece. So you might as well put up the white flag and go ahead. Let your opinion be inserted into the piece. But also what happened is they became agents of change. This is what was drilled in their mind. This is in journalism school. In their minds, journalism should be used to change society.
Right.
To change the narrative, to change what the definition is of right and wrong, to demonize certain groups, and to promote other groups that go along with your viewpoint in life. So those people came out of journalism schools. They got jobs. They became supervisors, news directors for radio, TV, and newspapers. And that's what you get with the New York Times.
Well, and let me make something clear. When you say journalism schools were teaching potential journalists to go ahead and put your opinion in so you can change the country, there was only one opinion that was being taught.
That's right.
It was a progressive/regressive view of the world. Mm-hmm. They weren't equally encouraging conservative journalists to change culture because that's the journalist's job. Mm-hmm. This is part of the regressive process of trying to make this country a regressive/socialist nation.
That's right.
And so this is why, listen, the state of the New York Times and some of the CNN viewership has gone off a cliff. Mm-hmm. Listen, you want to complain? If you're on the left, you want to complain about the existence of Fox News? You can blame CNN for that.
Yeah.
And ABC, NBC, CBS, their news departments, mm-hmm. because you were so far to the left, conservatives wanted their own voice.
Yes.
That's why we have Fox News. Mm-hmm. And the only way to cure this is for journalists to go back to being journalists, and then you might see some of this rhetoric and opinionated news die down. But until then, you're going to still see journalism in the dumpster. Yep. In terms of people's trust of it.
Mm-hmm. And newspapers are having such a hard time of it right now, and this doesn't help. There, I'm sure books have been written about this, but there are so many ways that a journalist or reporter can spin a story that you don't even realize unless you're really close to the business. You don't even, subconscious, almost subliminal manipulation. Who do you talk to first and who do you talk to last? Who gets the
right.
last word?
Yes.
Are they equally credible? Are they talking to the nuts on one side and the reasonable quote unquote people on the other side? Where does the story appear? Is it on page one or is it on page seven? These are all things that kind of build into your respect for the story or how the story is read. And most people don't even realize they're being played.
Well, and the thing too, there's to what Steve is talking about. It's descriptives,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right wing,
right?
Yes.
Right away, you know that journalist doesn't like this group.
Anti-abortion.
Anti-abortion.
Not pro-life.
Yeah.
Anti-abortion.
Right wing, but you don't rarely see left wing.
Yes. You'll see ultra-conservative.
Folks, just go out and read this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tell me if you find a story that describes Bernie Sanders as left wing.
Right.
But they do like the word progressive.
Yes.
Ah, progressive.
Who's against progress?
We're moving forward.
Yes.
Yes, and Bernie's moving us forward. Just test it, folks. And you will see. And sadly, you mentioned Fox News. You got to keep your eye on Fox News. Folks.
Right. They're drifting a little bit.
They are
at
drifting.
At times, they appear to.
They have some new leadership there that I think wants to incorporate a little bit more. Of the left in their viewership, so be careful.
And if I could brag on One News Now for a bit, American Family News, we really try hard to keep those descriptors out. We're upfront that we report from a biblical perspective, so we are going to that right now. You know that kind of a spin is going to be there, but we try to use. I mean, you spend half your day cleaning up Associated Press articles from to
before
get them
post
before
them.
We post them, right? Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's move on.
Okay. You know, this trade war has been going on with China. Yesterday, the Dow dumped, the markets just went in the tank. They're back today. The Dow is, as we speak, up about 100 points, 77 points as we speak. Anyway, they're in the green. But yesterday, the Treasury Department labeled China a currency manipulator. Now, this is what they're saying is a pretty historic thing for the U.S. to do with such a huge economy and trading partner.
And have not said this about China since the early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Right. What they're saying China is doing is China is devaluing its yuan, its dollar, basically. And when its dollar, its yuan, is worth less, its items are cheaper, and it costs more of them to buy U.S. items. So just like a low-pressure area in weather, all the wind starts going towards China. All the trade is going towards China. This is their way of getting back. And President Trump has been playing this game of chicken with China. Now, every time that he has picked a battle with trade or with, pay up for NATO or your defense, he's won. This one, the jury's still out. It's a game of chicken, and people are a little nervous about how it's going to end up. But this is the latest shot in this trade war, and it's having a huge effect on the markets. And they say that it could have an effect on the economy in general. If it doesn't resolve, it could slow the economy down. If it does resolve in our favor, sorry, that doesn't make sense. Straight up, the economy up. Goes.
Now, wasn't there a headline, though, this morning, Steve, that China has blinked, that they've actually raised the value of their yuan this morning?
I did not see that. If that's the case, then...
I saw a headline where it said China blinked.
And I'm disturbed about the Chinese attempt to overtake our national anthem, because it always starts off, "Oh, yuan, can you see?"
Ah.
I got the joke wrong. I got the wrong ethnic group. All
oh
right.
My goodness.
Don't we have some sort of delay for lame jokes?
I think there is. I think 7 seconds and you passed it.
We'll change the podcast.
It took us that long to figure out what the joke was.
I knew there was a joke in there somewhere that I'd heard growing up. But, all right. Do we have anything else?
Yeah, let's end with a...
Can I deflect somewhere?
I'm trying to find the story of the squirrel fan. I have an older woman got into an accident. She actually, and she's fine. Let me just say it right up at the front.
Yeah, don't laugh unless you can say
right up at the front, okay. Just a couple scrapes and bruises. But she was trying to avoid a squirrel. She swerved into the back of a parked car, flipped her van.
Wow.
I know. And the squirrel is fine. She missed the squirrel. So that's the important part. She suffered only minor scrapes and bruises, wasn't even refused treatment at the site, and was cited for driving without due care and caution, although the squirrels union, I understand, is going to pay that fee for her.
Listen, you remember the old, I think it was a Geico commercial, remember with the two squirrels playing in the road?
That's right.
And they high-five each other or something
when a
car swerves to avoid them and
hits
a tree. Who hasn't done that? I mean, not hit the tree part, but those squirrels are nutty.
Are stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they're stupid.
They're hyper or something. You never know which way they're
going
to
go. They get in the middle of the road. They see you coming. What am I going to do about this? And then they turn around and go back.
And if I'm with my wife, she does not like me to run over animals. So I have to slow down and let the squirrel make its choice. My life determined by the brain, a brain the size of a pea. And I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about the squirrel.
It's good, because you really threw her under the bus at the beginning of the show. I'm just saying.
I did?
Yes.
All right. Well, apparently this was not a good day for me. Jokes. All right, folks. Listen, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow. Maybe Ray Pritchard will be with us. Bye for now.